Hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken B. Foster. I'd like to welcome you to the Voices of Courage show today. I want to ask you a question. What does it mean to you to go from defeat to victory? Just think about it for a second. You know, you probably had many times in your life where you've had great challenges, and somehow you overcame those challenges. And maybe sometimes you didn't overcome those challenges. Maybe they're still sticking with you, but there's a part of you that knows somewhere deep inside of you that there is a way to overcome your greatest challenges. You know, whether you are diagnosed, let's say, with a terminal disease right now, or whether you're facing a relationship issue or a career issue, maybe a financial issue, there are ways to overcome everything. Yeah, I've been coaching for over 26 years, and I can tell you this. Whether it's in business or life, when you set your intention and you start to go within your own soul, your own heart, to find the answers, you will always find the answers. The biggest challenge is finding the right questions and the right motivation to move you in the direction to overcome your greatest challenges. When you can do that, you can overcome them. Trust me, I've been doing this for many, many decades, and everybody gets to overcome their greatest challenges if you so choose. Sometimes you choose not to. That's okay too. But if you choose, you will. So today, we're going to be discussing some of the deeper sides of overcoming great challenges with a very special guest, who you will be blown away when you find out who I have on my show today. So, but you're going to have to wait until I get back from my commercial to do that. So we'll be right back.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers. This free book reveals little-known secrets about annuity strategies that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. Call right now for your free book. And as a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report, both absolutely free, for calling Annuity General today.
Call 800-510-0470.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call now.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Not only can a CGM immediately reduce pain, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. We'll also provide free shipping of your new CGM, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. If you are testing your blood sugar four more times per day and injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call now and learn how to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Hi, JJ is back because this is important. Do you know if your Medicare Advantage plan benefits are changing this year? Are your costs and copays going up? Is your doctor still covered? During the annual enrollment period, you can call to find out all the changes to your coverage. Plus, see if you're eligible for a plan with the benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
I called to find a plan with lower copays and more dental coverage.
I called to see if my zip code has a plan with the benefit that adds money back to my Social Security check.
I called to make sure my doctors are still in my plan.
Extra benefits, extra money. Dynamite! AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
Call 1-800-957-1821. That's 1-800-957-1821 now.
Well, welcome back to the Voice of Courage show. David Richman, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you.
Thank you, Mr. Foster. Glad to talk to you. Thanks, Ken.
All right. You are so welcome. For those of you that don't know David, you will shortly. David is a best-selling author. He's an entrepreneur, speaker, athlete, and philanthropist. And he went from being a sedentary, overweight smoker to a super athlete. And I'm excited to have you here, David. You've quite the story of really triumphing over really great challenges in your world. Let's just start with, you know, when did you wake up to the fact that you were done sitting on the couch, you were ready to do something different in your life?
Well, I'm smiling because when you were talking before to the audience about challenges and choosing to overcome them, it wasn't until my late 30s that I understood the biggest challenge to overcome was me. And, you know, we see things, you know, a certain way. We learn lessons. I had learned a ton of lessons in business and in life up until that point. But until I was awakened to the fact that I needed to overcome myself, and that didn't happen until my late 30s, that was my biggest limiter to things was me. So I like to brag that I learned a whole lot of lessons before I was 40, but it was until I was 40 that I actually felt like I had any awareness on how to apply them to myself.
Well, my father would tell me, he says, you know, most people don't get much wisdom until after 40. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. At least some of us, because that's about when I woke up, 42. You know, overcoming yourself is, we talk about it, but it's one of the greatest challenges anybody can do, because we're socialized from the time we come onto this planet, you know, in a certain belief systems, you know, within our family, within our countries, with our institutions, you know, our churches. Mm-hmm. How does one start on that journey to start to, like, maybe rethink and reimagine their lives?
Yeah, so for me, how that happened, and you know, I don't know that it's advice, because everybody has their own journey, but for me, how it happened was, yeah, I was very good at overcoming struggles and challenges and uphill battles and digging holes and figuring out a way out of them. I was great at all of that. But I was at a very low point in my personal life. I was overweight. I was a smoker, stressed out relationships. Yeah, just really, really bad times. We don't need to go into how deep they were, but pretty bad times. And I was complaining to a friend of mine one day, Ken, and he said, you know what, I'm tired of hearing you complain about all the problems, because all those problems are like wild animals. And every wild animal you come across, every person that's like bad intention that you try to turn into a different person or whatever, they're just a wild animal. You take them home, you feed them, you comfort them, you think that everything's great, and then you go to pet them and they bite you. It's like problems bite you. Like what don't you understand about that? Maybe you should take a look in the mirror and see what your problem is. Maybe you're the one that is the problem. Why do you keep encountering all these issues that are holding you back? Maybe it's not them. Maybe it's you. And I went, holy cow. Maybe that is me. So it wasn't that I actually gained wisdom or kind of could put my life into perspective, but when I went home after that conversation, which was probably, you know, one of the most seminal conversations in my life, because it really started to rewire my brain, Ken. I went home, I looked in the mirror, and I said, like, who are you? Like who are you? And I just didn't have the answer to that. And when I asked myself, who do you think you can be? I didn't have the answer to that either. So I like to say I didn't lean into any wisdom or gain any perspective. What I did is I had like a backpack full of lessons and perspective and wisdom and tools. I just didn't know how to start applying any of them until then. And then, you know, I just went on a quest to try to answer some of those questions.
Yeah. Well, I think that quest, you know, we're all on a quest in life. We're all developing, growing, learning, evolving at some level. At least most of us are. There are people that I've seen that go from birth to grave that don't seem to change very much. But I think that's the exception today rather than the rule. You know, change is difficult for many. You know, we don't necessarily want to change. We want to kind of stay in our comfort zones. So, I don't know. How do you get out of your comfort zone, right? You had to do this. And I'm going to go, we're going to explore a lot of the things that you've done in the past to get out of your comfort zone. But just overall, think about it. Like, what my audience is listening. Like, how do I get out of my comfort zone, right?
Yeah. The first way to get out of your comfort zone is to take a very brutal, stark, honest look at yourself. Inventory, the good, the bad, the very negative, the positive, the whatever. And that's what I did when I looked in that mirror. Is I didn't have a lot of answers for what my problems were, but I could list at least my qualities or the qualities that I thought were good qualities, positive ones that I could lean into, and bad qualities that I had to admit to. So that was number one. I think the bigger one for me, to answer your question, was to learn how to give myself permission to go find out, right? I had to forgive myself. I had to say, you know, you didn't know what you didn't know. You do now. So go ahead, cut yourself a break and just go out and do it. Like, stop feeling guilty. Stop pining over lost opportunities. Stop like lamenting about what you could have been or all the uphill battles that held you back or whatever. Just forgive yourself. Just like give yourself permission to go figure it out. And then, you know, the third part of that is actually the doing of that. So how do you institute that kind of transformation or that kind of change by being uncomfortable? Is just say like, okay, here's who I am. I am this. I'm just going to start from day one. Like, let all the nonsense in my head go and now go figure it out. And figuring it out, for me, instead of looking outside for validation and instead of looking outside for problems to solve, I began, like, for the first time ever, caring about what I thought about me and solving problems and accomplishing things that I soon learned were important to me.
Well, you know, I think what you're sharing too is, you know, you had the insight to be able to start to ask those questions within yourself. And I think a lot of people are in that place today where, you know, we just went through this 2 years, you know, the COVID thing, and, you know, there was, you know, depression increased in our country by threefold, suicides increased, you know, a lot of challenges there. But it really, you know, pain is a great motivator. Pain, you know, you want to make the change, you know, just tune into the pain. And once you do, you can start to go, okay, well, maybe I do need to get different results in my life. Maybe I need to step into something greater. You know, a lot of people are going through that. So I'm glad you were able to do that. And I think for a lot of people today, there's a lot of, you know, there's coaches out there. There's life coaches, career coaches, health coaches, relationship coaches, all kinds of coaches to be able to help you explore those things. All right, listen, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to take a little deeper dive into your new book and actually a deep dive into your new book. So we'll be right back.
Attention cancer victims who use the weed killer Roundup. A federal jury unanimously found that Monsanto's popular weed killer Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. If you or someone you love used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call the number on your screen now. Don't wait. There may be time deadlines to file a claim.
Call 800-506-2151. That's 800-506-2151.
Do you listen to the TV on high volume or have trouble hearing conversations? Then you would benefit from hearing aids. Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get Nano's revolutionary technology just $347. Don't be fooled by higher-priced hearing aids. The CIC Recharge is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology, many customers say is superior to more expensive models. Call now and get not one, but two Nano hearing aids for just $347. Plus, we'll add a portable charging dock and ship your order absolutely free. The CIC Recharge has a tiny in-the-ear canal design that is nearly invisible. Why keep missing out on important conversations or waste thousands of dollars? Call and get two CIC Recharge hearing aids for only $347 and free shipping. Call now.
800-817-7419. Again, that's 800-817-7419.
Hi, everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich, here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So, Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call now.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Not only can a CGM immediately reduce pain, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. We'll also provide free shipping of your new CGM, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. If you are testing your blood sugar four more times per day and injecting insulin three or more times per day or using an insulin pump, call now and learn how to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Hi, JJ is back because this is important. Do you know if your Medicare Advantage plan benefits are changing this year? Are your costs and copays going up? Is your doctor still covered? During the annual enrollment period, you can call to find out all the changes to your coverage. Plus, see if you're eligible for a plan with the benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
I called to find a plan with lower copays and more dental coverage.
I called to see if my zip code has a plan with the benefit that adds money back to my Social Security check.
I called to make sure my doctors are still in my plan.
Extra benefits, extra money. Dynamite! AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
Call 1-800-957-1821. That's 1-800-957-1821 now. Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, and we are talking with David Richmond. If you don't know David, let me just tell you a couple of facts about David. David's done over 50 triathlons, including 15 Ironman distance triathlons, which is quite a feat in itself. But he's also done over 50 runs longer than marathon distance, several 24-hour runs, an 85-mile run in Mexico in the middle of the summer, four consecutive marathons, 104 miles from Santa Barbara to Manhattan Beach, and also a solo 5,000-mile cross from California to Florida experience. So, David, that's quite a feat. I'm impressed myself with that.
Well, I didn't just stop at Florida. Actually, when I got to Florida, I went down halfway down Florida, crossed the state, and then zigzagged my way up to New York. So that's how I got up to about 5,000 miles.
Oh my goodness! Okay,
yeah,
wow, that's it. That's incredible. Well, listen, you have a new book out there, and It's right now sweeping the nation, and it's all about the cycles of life. Tell me a little bit about why you decided to write The Cycles of Life.
Sure, I appreciate that. So when I was embarking on this transformation, which I didn't know what form it was going to take. When you're just living your life, you're just living your life. You know, once you get some perspective, you understand what you're doing. And I just found myself drawn to, once I stopped smoking and started getting into shape, I was drawn to doing endurance athletics. And, I did it in a very short order. I basically quit smoking in February and did my first Ironman before the end of that year. So I was on a pretty quick path to try to figure out why I didn't set higher goals for myself, right? Because if I was able to do that, set higher and higher goals. At that same time, when I saw this big journey ahead of me, I was called by my sister. She told me that she was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And we both had a pretty traumatic childhood and were very close. And I was really admired her for how she had overcome those traumas and was really settled into her best life. And she was like living it. Here I was just trying to figure it out and just barely seeing it down the road, you know, many years later. And she's going to be on a very short journey. I had a much longer one. So I was touched by that. And I really paid attention to her, Ken, because I wanted to learn. And one of the things that I noticed, not just with her, but basically every doctor, nurse, you know, patient advocate, friend, family member, whatever, is they're great about talking about tasks related to the trauma. In her case, it was cancer. How do I navigate work? How do I get my kids watched? You know, those kind of things. But when it came to the emotional aspects of that journey, that trauma journey, their people were mostly or partially ill-equipped to have the hard conversations about the emotional facets of the trauma. So I could drop you off a casserole, but knock on the door with a box of Kleenex and sit down and listen to you is a whole nother thing, right? So it seemed to be a lonely place. A lot of isolation, a lot of abandonment, a lot of feeling very lost and lonely in the emotional aspects of trauma. And I wanted to dive deeper into that. And so I figured the way I could do that, Ken, was to just talk to a ton of different people about their traumas, how they overcame them, and how those traumas either limited or enhanced their ability to have these hard conversations with the people in their lives to form deeper connections. And that's what I set out to do with the book.
Wow. Well, you know, it comes to mind, Edgar Casey comes to mind, who would listen to people and they would walk out healed. There's a lot of healers out there that are just listeners. They just listen, and they listen for that emotional release. And as the release, the emotions are released, the person actually heals. And, you know, we're finding a lot of science around that right now, where we're carrying emotions in our body that are creating the disease in our cells. So once we can start to release that, then all of a sudden we start to get healthier. So, you know, my hat's off to you with those big ears that you're listening and really taking a deep
dive. Yeah, thank you. I mean, you're onto something major. Yeah, thank you. And you're onto something major. I also do a lot of workshops with expressive writing. I know firsthand, as a lot of people do, what rewiring that unkind or sometimes, you know, kind of very brutal inside voice that we have related to traumas that we, you know, box up and lock in our basements up here, that the rewiring of that voice through expressive writing is proven to be very healthy, not just health benefits, you know, psychological and emotional benefits, but actual, you know, measurable health benefits. And so you're right. Really rewiring the brain and being kinder around the emotion and connecting, even if just to ourselves, but the book, you know, is about connecting to others, is really a very important facet of the human experience, in my opinion.
Well, in my opinion, we're all born innocent. We're all come in here innocent. And then we're, you know, that innocence, which is innocent, right, is, you know, and not very aware or maybe doesn't have discriminative judgment at, you know, at a young age. We're programmed. We're programmed by these dramas, you know, by our TV, by our schools, our societies, and that innocence, it's kind of this little, what I would call almost like a rust over it. And it stops being as brilliant and bright as it once was. But once we can start to remove that, then all of a sudden we can start to shine again in that innocence, that creativity, that joy that we have in all of us, in us, we can start to express that again. And for all of you, I pray that you, if this show touched your life, share it with a few people. Let them know that their lives matter too, and you can be a conduit for that. So until next time, we hope that you will continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Take care. Hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'd like to welcome you to the Voices of Courage show today. I want to ask you a question. What does it mean to you to go from defeat to victory? Just think about it for a second. You know, you probably had many times in your life where you've had great challenges, and somehow you overcame those challenges. And maybe sometimes you didn't overcome those challenges. Maybe they're still sticking with you, but there's a part of you that knows somewhere deep inside of you that there is a way to overcome your greatest challenges. You know, whether you are diagnosed, let's say, with a terminal disease right now, or whether you're facing a relationship issue or a career issue, maybe a financial issue, there are ways to overcome everything. Yeah, I've been coaching for over 26 years, and I can tell you this. Whether it's in business or life, when you set your intention and you start to go within your own soul, your own heart, to find the answers, you will always find the answers. The biggest challenge is finding the right questions and the right motivation to move you in the direction to overcome your greatest challenges. But when you can do that, you can overcome them. Trust me, I've been doing this for many, many decades, and everybody gets to overcome their greatest challenges if you so choose. Sometimes you choose not to. That's okay too. But if you choose, you will. So today we're going to be discussing some of the deeper sides of overcoming great challenges with a very special guest who you will be blown away when you find out who I have on my show today. So, but you're going to have to wait until I get back from my commercial to do that. So we'll be right back.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers. This free book reveals little-known secrets about annuity strategies that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. Call right now for your free book. And as a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report, both absolutely free, for calling Annuity General today.
Call 800-510-0470.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call now.
One of the challenges I know I personally have had a lot my journey is the self-talk, how we talk to ourselves in a kind, loving way. You know, I grew up in a loving home, but I can't say that it was a conscious loving home. It was a loving home, but there was a lot of control and demands and shame and blame and guilt and all that other stuff that was laid on all of our children. So how do we start to reprogram that, David, from your point of view?
Well, from my point of view, I have a couple of different thoughts, right? One is personal to me, and one is what I've experienced in talking to a lot of people who either had not learned how to reframe those discussions in a kinder way with themselves, and also from people who had. In my case, I really gave myself the permission to have a little compassion and say, look, you've been through a lot, you've overcome a lot, just let it go, right? Everybody has it tough. Everybody's got a tough life. You had yours, don't carry it around as a burden. I think we tend to cling on to certain unkind phrases in our brains as a way to protect us from having to go search for those traumas and kind of figure them out and reconcile certain things that have happened to us in our young adulthood or in our childhood. And so I just said, you know what, just accept that life's not perfect. Accept that you're a 10,000 piece puzzle with a few pieces missing, and that, you know, it's fine. It's okay. You can still do the puzzle. And I learned how to be a little bit kinder, and that just gave me permission. You know, which I think is a big deal. Just cut yourself a break, right? And if you cut yourself a break, then you can start off fresh, you know, and learn how to rewire the kinder voice. I think part of that was that I gave myself a place to listen to myself, which sounds kind of stupid, but Those ears are not just for other people. I wanted to apply them to myself. And I just said, what if you were kinder? What if you thought better of yourself? What if you believed in yourself? You know, what if you knew that you could overcome? What if you could rewire your perspective? All of those things happened to me. Kevin, you know this because you've done endurance athletics. You can rewire yourself having self-talk to yourself on four-hour runs real easily. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I remember the first half marathon I did. It was mile nine. And mile nine, I will never forget. Because at mile nine, every negative thought I've ever had about myself or probably other people in the world hit me. And it just hit and hit. And it was going on and on and on. And and finally, I made a choice. I said, if I'm going to get through this marathon, I can't think this way. I've got to focus my mind on something else. And I focused it over on gratitude, what I was grateful for. And mile nine is history today, but in the moment, it was painful. And, you know, and then, of course, I was able to complete that first half marathon because I focused on gratitude. Mile 10, mile 11, mile 12, half, you know, gratitude, right? 13, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it.
That's a beautiful story, and I love it. One of the things I love about athletics is that you're doing it for yourself, right? But especially when it comes to endurance athletics, my point, if I could tell you super quick, was the very first half Ironman that I did. I quit smoking in July, or in February. In July, I did my first half Ironman. I was still out of shape. I didn't look at myself as an athlete. There's no possible way I could have been called an athlete or thought of myself as an athlete. But I said, I'm going to go do this half Ironman, which is that half marathon. But before that, a 56-mile bike and a 1.2-mile swim. And I get to the start line, and I look out at all the Greek gods that combined have like an ounce of fat between them. It's a wave start, so everybody's going off in waves. And I start seeing these people. I'm like, oh my God, like, what the heck am I doing here? And that inside voice said, dude, you are not this. You're a loser. Go home. You're a fat smoker, right? You're going to be a nobody. Your life is already behind you. If you were smart enough, you had started doing this stuff 20 years, blah, 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 blah. All the negative thoughts, right? And then the gun goes off. And I see about 90% of the Greek god athletes go swimming in the river. And then I look at the back of the line and I'm like, well, there's a dude flopping on his back, reverse doggy paddle, and another one swimming in circles, and another one like racing to the river's edge so that he wouldn't drown. And I'm like, what the heck, man? Like, they're out here not caring what anybody thinks. Why do you care what anybody thinks? Like, just do your best. Like, care what you think. Nobody's looking at you. Nobody cares. But you finally get a chance to. So go out there and do your best. And I was like, all right, so you mean the only thing that matters is what I think? And I'm like, huh, all right. That was like one of the most positive conversations I had with myself, because it was like, I don't need to prove anything. I don't need to be doing this. I'm choosing to do it. Nope, nobody's measuring me, right? So just go out there and do your best and learn. See what you're made of. But I love that challenge, that self-challenge, that permission to go figure it out, you know?
I love that. You know, one of the programs that I work with, or I created about 20 years ago, it's called the Release Process, and it gives people time to be with themselves and to kind of inventory where, you know, what's gone on in their lives, the harms, the hurts, the guilt, the shame, the remorse, you know, all the stuff that's underneath the surface, and then make a conscious choice like we have to just let it go. I like what you said. Give yourself a break. Allow yourself to be who you are, you know, and it not define yourself by what other people look like, say, or do. It's just like, this is who you are. It's cool. It's a great, you know, when we start to connect with ourselves on that level, it starts to be more of a joyful experience in life. And like anything, it took practice. You know, it wasn't a one-time, oh, let me think something nice about myself. It was ongoing, you know, daily dripping on our minds.
Oh, most definitely. And it's not just, you know, like leaning into who you are, giving yourself permission to lean into who you are. But how about giving yourself permission to learn who you're going to become, right? Like say, okay, like I'm not this. I'm not this unkind person. I'm not somebody who deserved to be beat up. I'm not somebody who deserved to have this bad thing happen. I'm not somebody who needs to continue to beat myself up to pay a price for a bad decision I made a while ago or whatever. How about just letting that stuff go and leaning into who you can become? And in my case, that's what drove me, is to figure it out. Like I didn't want to just say, okay, well, here's what's good about you. Focus on that. I wanted to find out what I could become, what I could evolve into, how I could better interact with the world and let the world interact with me. I wanted to go on a journey of discovery, not just like acceptance.
The journey of discovery. It's actually the hero's journey, and all of us are on it at various levels. So I'd like to take a deeper dive into the hero's journey and consciousness as we come back on a break. We'll be right back.
Attention cancer victims who use the weed killer Roundup. A federal jury unanimously found that Monsanto's popular weed killer Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. If you or someone you love used Roundup weed killer and were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma, call the number on your screen now. The World Health Organization has designated glyphosate, the main ingredient in Roundup weed killer, a probable human carcinogen. Thousands of agriculture workers may have been exposed to serious health risks by using this dangerous product. You may be owed significant financial compensation from the manufacturer. Call and speak to an experienced attorney today for a free consultation. If you don't win, you pay nothing. If you or someone you love used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call the number on your screen now. Don't wait. There may be time deadlines to file a claim.
Call 800-925-7921. That's 800-925-7921.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers. This free book reveals little-known secrets about annuity strategies that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. Call right now for your free book. And as a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report, both absolutely free, for calling Annuity General today.
Call 800-510-0470.
Well, welcome back, everybody, and I want to let you know that this show is really for you. This is all about you being able to step into you in a much greater way. And in his book today, Cycle of Lives, David discusses 15 different stories of individuals that have gone through challenging times in their lives and have triumphed over them in many different ways. David, why 15 stories? Why not 10? Why not 20? Why 15?
Yeah, a great question, by the way. I don't get asked that very often. Why 15 was, it could have been 13, it could have been 17, it couldn't have been much less than 15, it could have been much more. But what I wanted to do, Ken, was when asking the question, why is it so hard for us to start the difficult conversations around the emotional aspects of cancer or other traumas, I said, what can we learn from people's traumas? We got to have diversity in age, experience, types of cancer, severity of cancer. I've got one person in the book only has a really big fear of getting cancer, which is just as valid as the next person's who's had cancer five different times in their life and the trauma that that's created. So I wanted all different types. I wanted also to get doctors, nurses, but also patients, loved ones, survivors, people who overcame the cancer, people who lost people to cancer. And then I also wanted, Ken, we all kind of have the same basic emotions, but our emotional responses to things vary greatly. So I wanted people that had varying emotional responses to the traumas that they experienced. I mean, even so much as gratitude for receiving, a bad news and hope out of very, very desperate situations, and trust in the world out of very, disgustful situations. And so I gathered just tons and tons of different people and felt like if I could, going on the cycle theme and you got all the sectors in a cycle, in a wheel, Can I fill in those sectors with different emotions, ages, types of experience that they had and all of that? And then I also had to find people whose stories were evocative, relatable. And most importantly, Ken, I had to have people that would give me a pass. And it took a year or two, sometimes as much as 3 years of conversations with each participant that would give me a pass into the deep, dark hallways of their experiences, of their mind, and that we could unvault some of those chests that hold the trauma and the emotion that we locked down. So it took...
Were there common themes as you explored the recesses of their minds?
Well, related to the trauma, well, yes. So a first common theme was, why are you talking to me? My life's not that special. Nobody's going to get anything from it. Right? Everybody's just living their life. They don't think anything special. Meanwhile, you talk to people and you realize their lives are absolutely remarkably spectacular. I didn't talk to one person who wasn't. So that was a common theme. Once we got there to realize that maybe their stories were pretty remarkable and could be told correctly.
Yeah, I love that. I'd like to almost pause that for a second because I know there's people right now listening in the audience that don't believe their life is special. That they're just ordinary, common. There's nothing special about them. How do we get somebody? How do you get yourself to be able to recognize that you are very special, and not from an egotistic place, but from a place of genuine understanding and wisdom as to how special a person's life journey is? How do we get people?
Yeah, Ken, I couldn't have any insight into an answer before I did this project, but I'll give a shot at the answer. And I think the answer is that once we talk through the trauma, once we talk through the emotion, once we have a safe space to connect with somebody in an authentic, meaningful, self-caring way, I'm not saying see a professional and deal with therapy, fine, but I'm talking about once we feel authentically connected to someone, and we start to vocalize these issues, boy, it just rewires it in a whole different way. I mean, we're now forced to talk about things that we've been carrying for so long. And once we hear what we've gone through, there's nothing but to take a minute and to go, oh my gosh, I guess that was kind of special, right? And I love it because I can totally feel for Ken, the person that lost a fingertip in an accident and is totally crushed and their life is defined by that. It's the trauma and the center of everything and it just rewires their whole brain. I can totally relate to that. But I can also relate to the person that lost their leg searching for uncovering mines and now goes and runs ultra marathons. And they go, that's the best thing that ever happened to me, right? So I think that we just live our lives. We never actually get a chance to examine them. And if we can examine them, not from being judged, not from being frowned on or looked upon as inspiration, just examine it authentically with somebody that cares, you can't do anything but sit back and go, man, everybody's going through stuff. Everybody's gone through stuff. How incredible is it? And that's what the essence of all these stories are, is they're just remarkable people.
You know, I can relate to in my own life. I remember at one point I took a visit down memory lane I was listening to several of the songs I liked when I was back in high school, early college, and I noticed that they were all sad songs. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Was I depressed back then? And the truth was I was, you know, compared to where I am today. And then, you know, and so as soon as I acknowledged that, though, it's like all these other songs popped in that were like really upbeat and everything I loved, too. And I thought, interesting. I was in both places at any point in time. I'm not sure how that defined me, but I realized that this is the life's journey. We're all on this journey that we call life. And sometimes there's highlights and sometimes there are lowlights. For me today, when I'm coaching individuals, we look at both ends of that because that's what makes the richness in life. Mm-hmm. You know, I was going to ask you a question, you know, what would readers probably walk away from by reading the book? Mm-hmm. But I want to kind of flip that first. We can answer both. But what did you walk away with as you went into the depth of these stories and the connected human to human, depth to depth with individuals that were going through their life story.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you said a word earlier that really touched with me. It'd be gratitude, right? I'm very grateful that enough people believed in this project and were willing to commit to my theme. And my theme was, let's examine the true essence of your traumas and what you've overcome, or in a lot of cases, what you haven't overcome. Let's just expose it for what it is, in the hopes that other people can now take what they witness in you, what they experience in you, what they connect with you on, and use those tools to take forward to their lives and allow people to connect with them, or to take forward into their lives to give them permission to connect with others who are going through trauma. Because it's hard. It's hard to talk about the emotional side. And so I'm pretty grateful for that. I also learned the true depth behind, you never know what people are going through or what they've gone through. And the people that I spoke to really gave me some insight into that. I think the other thing, which was a surprise and continues to be a surprise, is how you might find some people that have gone through things that are just, you have no sense of understanding the difficulty of, like, how in the world, like almost to the point where you feel pity, like how in the world could all of that happen to you? And yet they're inspirational and they're hopeful, and they are looking forward to tonight's sunset or tomorrow's sunrise. And it's like, man, you know what? Who am I to say that how you should feel or what you're going through or frame it against me? I mean, people are inspirational. They're forward thinking. We have a will to see what's going to happen next. And even if it's a sliver of that, it kind of exists in everyone. And I think each one of the stories, no matter how difficult they might be, is very inspirational, forward thinking, optimistic, can teach us a lesson. And that was shocking to me. That was, it really reframed my mind and let me really lean into the idea that I have no idea, right? If I want to connect with somebody, I can't come with the answers. I got to come with the ears,
Yeah. David, for my listening audience, please tell everybody where they can get the book.
Well, thank you. The book is available everywhere books are sold. There's an Audible on Amazon. Most books are sold on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever, at the bookstore. Cool thing is that 100% of the proceeds go to charity. So each one of the book participants, and the participants or the charities are listed in the book and on the website, they all each named a charity that they felt an affinity towards, that was a cancer center or whatever else. And I listed those in the book, and we made a pact that we're trying to help people. So let's just put all the proceeds to charity and to organizations that are helping people deal with cancer, childhood issues and abuse or mentoring or those kind of things. So, wherever you buy the book, some amount of money comes to us, and 100% of that goes out to the charities.
That's beautiful. Thank you, David. Mm-hmm. So Cycles of Lives, David Richman. And you can get that, like you said, on Amazon or anywhere else. You know what? When I read a book like this that's deep and it's rich in the conversations, what happens for me is I seem to be able to not only connect with the author and in the stories, but those stories a lot of times change me. Or if I'm not changed, I'm at least at a place where I recognize, because sometimes we don't have words to put in to articulate what we're going through. And when we can connect with another human that's gone through challenges, we can start to articulate it and start to realize, oh, this is what I'm going through. And now we have a path to understand how to heal it. In some cases, in many cases, actually. Mm-hmm. But if we can't put words around it, it's difficult to really understand, well, what is that I need to heal? You might have symptoms of showing up where, your finances are never where they should be, or your relationships aren't there, or your career, your health, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. There's something going on, but you can't put a finger on it. But when you can read a book like this that you start to relate, Now you can get it. You go, oh, that's what I need to work on. Okay. So I'm not sure you wrote it for that, but I'm sure that a lot of people will relate to that.
Yeah, and that's what I was hoping to get from it, is that we all have the same emotions, right? We all have been dealing with trauma. And I think in the end of our lives, if we're lucky enough to have the opportunity to have awareness, we want to lean into the authentic, deep, loving connections that we've made. And what better way to make those more complete than to be able to talk about the bad as well as the good, the traumatic as well as the trite, you know, just be able to talk about the emotional side of everything that we've gone through in an authentic, deep kind of 360 way. And I hope that these stories give us the tools to be able to do that just a little bit better than we do now.
You know, over the weekend, I had a friend, a 30-year friend that passed. She had terminal cancer. And at the end, there was only one thing left to say. And that was, I love you. And she said that to me and my wife and everybody she came across over the last several days of her life. She would just look in their eyes, and tell them how much she loved them and how much they meant to her and her life. And, you know, it really does come down to that, I believe. It comes down to that place where we have to find that love in our own life, in our own soul. Is there a common theme of love in this book, or what do you say with that?
I'd say that there is a common theme of love, but so many different aspects of it, right? A learning self-love. Learning how to be loved. There's a wonderful story in the book about somebody who loses the love of their life, and then very shortly after finding them, and then was able to again learn how to be loved and to love someone else. It's an amazing story. There's a story about all different facets, but love is definitely one. I think it's connection. I think it's permission to live your life against all circumstances. Right. I think there's a lot of very powerful and very positive, inspirational type themes with each one of these stories. Some of the stories are tough. Like, you know, there's nothing not tragic about your friend of 30 years passing away. There's nothing not tragic about that. But there's also some hope and some positivity and some inspiration. And fortunately for you, some settling of those things, because you've got to have some really meaningful, authentic, I love you, you love me, aren't we fortunate moments between you. And so if nothing else, we can take from that and carry it around as a little gem, rather than all the trauma we might be carrying around had we not said those things to each other.
Love it. I love it. Thank you for being here, David. We're out of time, man. That went like a heartbeat. Book is The Cycles of Life. It's David Richman. David, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Ken. Thanks for having me.
All righty. And for all of you, I pray that you, if this show touched your life, share it with a few people. Let them know that their lives matter too, and you can be a conduit for that. So until next time, we hope that you will continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Take care.